Well, I'm very pleased now to welcome Charla van der Berg onto the show. Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk, Charla.
Good morning.
Now, Charla, you have written a book. It's called The Football Business. And in the book, it shows how the economics of football have developed to the point where the structure of the business of football is now at odds with the game itself and the fans that it was originally created for. What is the impact on the fans of these of this development?
I think, on the one hand, the fans are going to pay more, even more than today. They are already paying a lot. And on the other hand, football will become less interesting for the fans if the present developments continue.
Now, I should have pointed out that you are an economist at the University of 20, and probably no doubt an FC 20 fan?
No, I'm a Feyenoord fan. It's in the other part of the country, but I was a Feyenoord fan when I was young, so you remain like that.
Now, I'm not familiar with how the structure of Dutch football is run, but what I do know is that in Germany, they have a very, very good system of subsidizing ticket prices. Do you see what's happening in Germany as a slight exception to what is going on in the rest of European football?
Well, I think that in many countries there's awareness that the prices are getting too high. And so I don't think what the Germans are doing is really an exception. We are not having the same thing in the Netherlands. What we do have in the Netherlands is a pay TV ban for almost all important football pictures. So you can get the highlights of the Dutch league for free, and they're very long and at a convenient time, 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. So that's very good for the fans. All the European matches, all the matches of the national teams, they are all for free. So that makes football cheap for the fans. Indeed, we might have, like the Germans, also lower ticket prices. But in the Netherlands, they're still reasonably cheap.
But if you want to watch the match live on television, Charla, then you still have to pay in Holland.
Yeah, but it's relatively little, because the highlights are very long and they are at very convenient times.
Right, I see. But the thing is, there's still the appeal of a live match can't really be beaten, can it, compared to the highlights?
That's true, and that's why I would argue to have a European ban on pay TV, so for all European countries, in which even there is a ban on the live matches, a pay TV ban on the live matches, because they can be financed by the commercials in the breaks.
But the thing is, a lot of the independent terrestrial broadcasters don't have the financial clout of companies like Sky, do they?
Yeah, so that's why we have to make life for Sky more difficult. Once you are having a pay TV ban, then it will be more difficult for Sky to earn money through football. That will mean that they will have to offer the clubs a lower price, which is based on what they can earn through commercials. But then at the same time, the other broadcasters, which are not having pay TV, are in the same position. So they can also make a bid. So the competition between the broadcasters will become more fair. They will have to pay the clubs a lower price for the broadcasting rights. But ultimately, all broadcasters can then compete on an equal basis.
But how would, I mean, the clubs very much rely on the revenue from television, don't they? Especially the satellite coverage. And if they were to suddenly find themselves without that source of revenue, how would they then pay the exorbitant transfer fees and wages that professional footballers now receive?
Well, the word suddenly, which you used, was very correct. I don't want it to happen suddenly, but it should be announced well in advance, so we should have a pay TV ban from, say, 2020. In that case, the clubs know long before that they're going to have less revenues. So next summer, when they are buying players, they already know that they should give them lower salaries. And once the clubs know they are having less revenues, they know they will have to pay the players less, and so they can still break even. I mean, Manchester United 50 years ago had no pay TV at all, and they were having very nice matches. George Best was I think he was producing wonderful dribbles, and there was no pay TV. So for clubs, it's perfectly possible to go along with somewhat less revenues. I think a pay TV ban would mean 10% revenues on average. and they're now earning 50 times as much as that is thousands of percents as much as 50 years ago. Say, if they go back a little in their revenues, there will be no problem.
The thing is, though, Charlotte, the big football clubs are never, ever going to buy into this. I mean, especially when you see the amount of money they're making. I think Manchester United declared pre-tax profits, was it 550 or £450 million?
Yeah, that's why the government needs to do it. We're living in a democracy, so the big power ultimately is with the people and the government. So that's why the government, in this case the European Union, just has to say it's the end of story, there's now a pay TV ban. And then Manchester United has to comply with that.
But the thing is, I mean, then what the government would then be doing is imposing restrictive practices on an industry.
Yes, that's what it's doing.
You don't think in any way that could set a very dangerous precedent within society?
No, because sports economists acknowledge that sport is a very special business. In the United States, you see that there are very special policies only for the big team sports, American football, baseball, they are having there. And for instance, the government has said that the sports sector, and especially the team sports, should be fully outside competition law, which is a big change compared to what the other firms are having. So everyone agrees that the football sector or the sports sector is a very special sector, and you cannot treat it like all the other businesses. So it's perfectly right to have a government policy here.
But it just strikes me as being a little ironic that you're advocating a non-competitive financial arena in a highly competitive sport.
I'm not saying that competitiveness will be lost. If the clubs still have to compete for the viewers on television, the viewers on television will pay because they watch commercials. Therefore, the broadcasters will pay the club's price. And of course, the clubs who are performing best, like Manchester United, in recent years at least, they will still get a high price from television, which is higher than the price of other clubs. And so they can buy better players. So the market remains. The only thing you're saying as a government, there's a maximum price for television, which is zero in this case. And this is not so very exceptional, because there are many monopoly elements in football. And in the United States, for instance, there have always also been maximum prices for electricity, because the government considered the market not to be working well. So it's not very exceptional. It happens now and then that the government says there should be a market price, and I am now suggesting there should also be a maximum price for football pictures, which is zero in this case.
Now, what sort of reaction have you had to the suggestions that you've made in your report?
Well, in the Netherlands, we are having now a pay TV ban. This was the result not only of my ideas, but of discussions of economists. And in the Netherlands, the Dutch people think it's very good. Abroad, I have published on this, but many people are still very skeptical, exactly because the arguments you are mentioning. But I think those arguments don't hold. Many people say it will be difficult to get the European Union that far to have these measures. So there may be political problems. But from an economic point of view, it's quite logical to do it.
Now, have you in any way sort of turned your attention to the governing bodies of football, UEFA and FIFA? Because one might say that they very much encourage the increased commercialization of the sport.
Well, I spoke to somebody from UEFA last week, and he is saying that UEFA actually wants little pay TV. They're trying to sell the matches of the Champions League to broadcasters who do not have pay TV. But they say they are forced by the big clubs to accept an offer from a pay TV broadcaster now and then. So they're, on the one hand, willing to have lower prices for the fans. I think Michel Platini, its chairman, is really trying to make football better for the fans. But they are in a difficult political situation. They acknowledge that themselves. They say the power of the big clubs is very important for us. They have a lot of influence over us. there are reasons for that. And because of that, we cannot do everything we want, such as lower prices on television for football. And because the UEFA, and also the FIFA, but especially the UEFA now, is in this situation, we need a higher government, a higher power, which is the European Union.
Now, do you see any correlation with, I suppose, the level of the amount of money in football and also the level of corruption that we're now seeing in the sport?
To a certain extent, especially in FIFA, you can see the connection. FIFA gets a lot of money for the World Cup, and I think much of that money goes to the wrong hands. And the more money is getting in, the more the danger of corruption. So there's the problem. I think in European football, apart from match fixing perhaps, the problem is smaller. The problem of corruption is not that big yet in European football. It may become bigger if there's more money, but
there's already been some very notable cases. I mean, there was a case a couple of years ago in Serie B in Italy where the goalkeeper during half-time drugged half his team with tranquilizers.
Yeah, but that danger is coming from outside. It's coming from the betting industry. It's the betting industry who is paying football players to do certain things.
But the point is that if you have a rotten organization that is running football at the heart of it, then there probably isn't the imperative or the will within that organization to think of the less commercial aspects of the sport and to think of perhaps the grassroots level that you are really focusing on.
Well, I agree. There are a lot of problems with commercialization of football. But there are two different industries. It's the betting industry and it's the football industry. And the football industry doesn't want to have match fixing. It's bad for Manchester United, its owners. It's bad for the football industry. It's coming, to a certain extent, you could say, from outside, from the betting industry. So I think that even the big clubs, they do not like those problems of match fixing. So whether or not they are corrupt, they want to earn money. So they do have the right incentive to go against it. Maybe at the moment not much is done yet, but I think more will be done in the future because it is in the interest of everyone owning a football club, the UEFA, everyone.
But there just seems to be a reluctance from the very top to address this problem. And, you know, if you think of FIFA itself, I mean, with all the accusations about Qatar receiving the bid, receiving the World Cup in 2022, and Russia's successful bid. And some people say, well, when you have an organisation at the very heart of football that has only one imperative, which is the commercialisation and the increased profitability of the sport, they are never, ever going to back various moves such as yourself, which is going to return to the sport to the fans.
Well, that's why I think we need the European Union. But to talk about the FIFA, I fully agree with you. That organization is much more corrupt than UEFA. And so, indeed, we have these problems with the World Cup. So there should be a big change in FIFA. But this is quite different from UEFA, I think.
So you see the two very distinct organisations with very different philosophies.
Yeah, and very different problems.
Now, before you go, it's been a fascinating conversation, Charlie. What other recommendations would you have for improving the sport?
Well, one other recommendation is to make the sport more competitive so that my club, Feyenoord, and also a club like Wolverhampton Wanderers is having more chances to beat the top clubs.
Now, why did you mention Wolverhampton Wanderers? How did you know that that was my football club?
Yeah, I saw it on your website. So we should give the small clubs more chances because football is getting a little bit more boring. When Arsenal is playing Ajax in the Champions League, it's not interesting for the Ajax fans because they know they will probably lose. But it's not interesting for the Arsenal fans, too, because they know they will nearly certainly win nowadays. So we have to make it more equal. And so another policy measure I would propose is, and this is also something the European Union could do, to force the big clubs to spend a lot of money on social projects. That could be non-professional clubs helping the youth, or whatever they think. But they're forced to spend that money on these social good projects and not on players. So if Arsenal is forced to spend a lot of money on these social projects, it has less money to buy good players, and then it will be more easy for Ajax, which is paying less on social projects, to beat Arsenal.
So it's all about football, really, sort of putting something back into the community.
Yeah, you should bring football back to the football. That means, to begin with, more clubs having a chance. Because if developments continue like they are doing now, in the end we will have only 20 clubs which are big in Europe, which can win an important prize. And that will be very bad for the game, because all the other clubs will be second-ranked clubs forever. And that's not good for the fans. So we should do something about that. And what I said is one suggestion. Other economists are bringing forward other suggestions. But we should try to make the game more balanced.
Well, I think that some of the recommendations that you're making are very, very interesting and certainly merit a wider discussion within the football community. Dr. Charlie Vandenberg, thank you very much for coming on Let's Talk and talking about your book, The Football Business. And that is available from all good retailers and also from Amazon, no doubt.
Yeah, thank you for being in the show.
Thank you very much. Best of luck. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, good weekend to you.
Take care. Bye then.